Are you searching for a way to stay connected on issues that matter to you in your everyday life? Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton for Family Talk. I hope you'll follow us on Twitter. Our feed is full of engaging content that you're going to want to interact with and pass along to some people you love. You can listen to our popular broadcast, stay informed with Dr. Dobson's newsletter, or read our blogs and articles and more. Find our Twitter page by searching for Dr. James Dobson, FT. That's Dr. James Dobson, FT. I think you'll be glad you did.
Today on Family Talk.
Since the 2016 presidential election took place, religious liberties in America have been expanded and better protected for all Americans. Christians should be encouraged by this trend and strive to make our voices heard in public policy. However, we shouldn't prioritize supporting specific candidates for office, though. We should take a step back and view the political scene through the lens of God's Word.
I don't believe we ought to endorse politicians from the pulpit, but there are some issues that the Bible doesn't stutter about. The sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage. And I believe on those issues that the Bible strongly speaks about, we ought to be willing to do what the prophets of old did, and that is to point a finger in the face of the culture and say, "Thus says the Lord."
That was the voice of Dr. Robert Jeffress, who will once again be our guest today here on Family Talk. He and Dr. Dobson will be continuing their explanation of a Christian's duty to be salt and light in politics. They'll unpack a believer's mental vetting process for public officials, and they'll also pinpoint moral issues that we simply can't ignore. Dr. Jeffress also shares the sharp criticism that he has received for his outspoken political activism. Now, before we hear the conclusion of this interview with Dr. Dobson, let me remind you of Dr. Jeffress and his background. Dr. Robert Jeffress is the senior pastor of the 13,000-member First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. He hosts a daily television as well as radio program called Pathway to Victory. It's broadcast in 195 countries worldwide. Dr. Jeffress is also a best-selling author with 25 books to his credit and serves as an adjunct professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He's made over 2,000 appearances on major news programs, including Fox News Channel, CNN, and MSNBC. Dr. Robert Jeffress holds a master's degree in theology and a doctorate in ministry, and he and his wife Amy have two daughters and three grandchildren. As we begin today's broadcast, keep in mind this conversation was recorded nearly 10 years ago, so you may hear some rather dated comments from Dr. Dobson or Dr. Jeffress. With that said, let's listen now to their conversation. We've titled it, Being a Conservative Crusader, for this edition of Family Talk.
Well, Dr. Jeffress, welcome back to Family Talk. My goodness, that program went by too fast last time, so it is good to have you here. So many things I want to talk to you about. Let's plunge right in, shall
okay.
we? You've had a very interesting life, and so have I. You grew up in the church, and so did I. You found the Lord when you were 4 years old. I found the Lord when I was three, so I beat you by a year.
I've always known you were ahead of me, Dr. Dobson.
Only in that. But you tell a story in the book about being on a game show, and so was I.
No.
Yeah, honestly.
I knew I liked you.
Tell us that story.
Well, we had gone to our first pastorate, and I didn't have enough money for a car. We needed a new car, and I thought, well, what's the best way to get some quick money? And so I thought, well, I'll go on a game show. And so I watched for the program that gave away the most cash, and I taped the show every day and watched it at night, learned how to play it, and took the last money we had in our checking account, flew to Hollywood, went over to Mark Goodson Productions, and they had 250 people trying out for three spots on the show. I auditioned, got on the show, went to CBS the next day, taped five shows, was the five-day champion on the show, got enough money, most of it for a car, flew home all night and got there in time to preach
That's
the next
unbelievable.
Morning.
Unbelievable. And what was the name of the show?
Oh, I don't want to insult any of your...
It was
called Card Sharks. And I was in my first church as a pastor, and I was afraid to tell my congregation that I'd been on a show called Card Sharks. I didn't tell anybody, but when it started airing nationally, they picked up real quickly on it.
Did you ever hear of a program called Let's Make a Deal?
I was on Let's Make a Deal. I was came on as a giant banana in a full banana outfit.
Serious?
And it was back when I was a youth minister back in 1984 at First Baptist Dallas.
You
and,
win anything there?
I did. I won $350 that day. And what's so funny is, Dr. Dobson, these shows keep playing on forever and ever on the Game Show Network.
Do.
They even keep playing today. And not long ago, they were playing my Let's Make a Deal thing from 25 years ago, and a little child in the church ran in and said, "Mommy, Mommy, the pastor's on TV, and he's a banana." So be sure your sins will find you out.
Well, they found me out, too, because I was on it, too.
And were you on Let's Make a Deal?
Absolutely. Shirley and I were. We had a friend who had tickets, and she couldn't use them and gave them to us. We had no idea what we were doing, and we went down there, and like you, we were in this big auditorium where they were choosing the contestants. And Shirley had these cloth birds all over her. I mean, they were everywhere, in her hair and on her shoulder. And I was carrying a sign that said, "My wife is for the bird." It's really, really funny, isn't it? I mean, that is great stuff. It was 1968.
Is that
and
right?
I had just finished my work at USC. And we were broke as church mice. And I thought, you know, how nice it would be to win a new car.
Yes.
Because what we had was really pretty beat up. And so Shirley is very vivacious, and she began putting on her antics, and she got them to choose us.
Yeah.
So we were contestants. And we had three doors to choose from. You know how that works.
Yes.
And they brought out a vacuum cleaner. And they said, if you can get within $3 of the cost of this vacuum cleaner, then you get a new Camaro. Are you kidding? I mean, greed. My mouth was watering. Here was this Camaro sitting out there, and I could win it if I could get within $3 of it. And so we had to make our choice, and I missed it by $25. I don't know. I wasn't anywhere near. And so I got $3 and a vacuum cleaner is all I got. We went home just sick, absolutely sick, because we had blown it.
If the telephones start ringing at Family Talk, all of a sudden you'll know they started airing Dr. Dobson's program.
Well, you know, we were only 30 minutes away from that show.
Yes.
That was in Burbank.
Yes.
And so it was easy for us to go, but that's the only time I ever did that. It was not profitable. Now, I want to ask you a question that you answer in your book. We talked last time about the fact that we're not going to endorse political candidates either on Family Talk or the First Baptist Church.
That's right.
Because, at least not from the pulpit. I have endorsed somebody personally.
And I have too.
Yeah.
Yes.
But without linking it to a nonprofit organization.
Right.
But we can talk about some principles that you need to implement in choosing the candidates that you vote for.
Right.
We don't want to get across the line into something that's illegal. But talk about that.
And you know, as a pastor, Dr. Dobson, I don't believe my people want me to tell them for whom to vote. I think that they feel like they're competent to make up their own minds. They can figure that out. But they do look to all of us who are in spiritual leadership for some criteria to use in selecting a candidate. And one of the chapters in my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, is about how a Christian should vote. And I give four questions I believe we ought to ask about any candidate, especially for president. Question number one, is the candidate a Christian? I've been amazed at how many people have taken me to task for that question, saying, "Oh, you shouldn't even consider a candidate's faith." It was John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who said, "God has given us both the privilege and the duty in this Christian nation to prefer and select Christians as our leaders." Now, I don't believe being a Christian automatically qualifies somebody to be president. But I do believe, given the choice between a competent Christian and a competent non-Christian, it makes sense to vote for a competent Christian. Wouldn't it give you comfort to know somebody is in the Oval Office who is being led not only by the best advisors, but by the Holy Spirit of God? There is great benefit in having a godly leader. The proverb says, when the godly rule, the people rejoice. So that's question number one. Question number two, how does the candidate's faith impact his policies? There are some candidates who say, my personal faith has no impact on my public policy. Now, I say any professing Christian who would say his personal faith has no impact on how he would govern is either a shallow Christian or a dishonest politician. Question number three, how does the candidate's policies align with the Bible? As we said in the last program, I don't think that the Bible speaks to every political issue, but the Bible does speak clearly about issues like the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, the treatment of the poor. And I believe we have every right to measure a candidate's policies against the unchanging Word of God.
Absolutely.
And then question number four, how does the candidate view the Constitution? Is he a constructionist, that is, believing that judges he would appoint ought to abide by the words of the Constitution? Or is he an expansionist, one who believes that judges had the liberty to create imaginary rights for some group of Americans while erasing the very real rights of other Americans that are in the Constitution? And we are seeing that run amok right now, the idea of expansionism in the Constitution. We are taking away the rights of the church. We're taking away the rights of Christians in order to grant these imaginary rights to some individuals. And so I think especially in this next election, Dr. Dobson, this is going to be an important question. And I think many people would be surprised when we answer this way as Christians. I would concede that as conservatives, many times we make a mistake of what I call biblicizing what are political issues. I don't believe the Bible speaks to every political issue in America today. And I think to take such a hard line against secondary issues of which there's room for disagreement, I think it really diminishes our witness. But I think we ought to concede that, yes, I'm going to stand firm on the issues that the Bible talks about and say there are a few of those issues that are really crucial, like the sanctity of life that protects the unborn, like the sanctity of marriage that protects the most important institution, the most basic institution in American society, the home. And I believe those are important issues to stand for.
You are listening to Family Talk, a production of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and we have reached the midpoint of Dr. Dobson's timeless conversation with Dr. Robert Jeffress. We will return you to this discussion in just a moment. Did you know that the James Dobson Family Institute is solely supported by you, our faithful listeners? Your generous contributions and gifts allow us to continue the work in which God has called us. We urge you to stand with us in our struggle for families and marriages. Go to drjamesdobson.org and get the information online, or call 877-732-6825 and learn how easy it is for you to make a donation to support our ministry. Again, visit drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825. And please accept our thanks for your faithful prayers and your financial support for this ministry. Okay, here now is Dr. Dobson once again as we conclude this classic edition of Family Talk.
Another issue that I really look forward to talking to you about has to do with religious liberty, which everybody's talking about today. Who would have believed it? You know, 6 months ago, it was all about the economy and taxation and other things. And now the social issues have come to the fore. And one of those issues that especially the Catholic Church, but also evangelicals are talking about has to do with the intrusion of government into the church and into the religious institutions. Talk about that.
Right. And as you've said, we're not here to endorse or denounce any candidate, but it is absolutely sure that there is an attempt by this administration to reach into the church and to limit churches' rights under the Constitution to freely exercise their religion. People who think that this latest attempt to control the contraception issue is a Catholic issue issue, they are making a big mistake to think this is solely limited to Catholics. It was this administration that just a few months ago was in court arguing that religious exclusions for hiring practices in churches ought to be removed.
That's the one where the Supreme Court struck it down.
Absolutely.
9-0.
But it was amazing. My friend Kelly Shackelford was there and giving one of the arguments against the administration. But to hear that if the administration had its way, that they would remove those religious exclusions, which means churches would have to hire homosexuals, they would have to do things that violate their most core beliefs. And that is where we are going unless we stand up and say enough is enough. And that's why I believe it is absolutely paramount for Christians to get involved in this process. And again, we're speaking to people who are Democrats, Republicans, Independents. I understand that. But understand this. In 2008, 30 million evangelical Christians sat at home and didn't vote. The election was won by 10 million votes.
Do you put part of the responsibility for that on the pastors who didn't urge their parishioners to register and vote?
Yes, I do. And I think it extends beyond pastors to elders, to deacons, to church leaders. Again, nobody wants to come to church and hear a political sermon every week. Our job is to preach the Word of God. But the Word of God so often intersects culture and where we are. We must stand up. We must speak about these issues. And we must encourage our people to be salt. You know, when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," salt was a preservative. Salt did not prevent the rotting of meat. It only delayed it. It only gave the meat a longer shelf life. Eventually, the meat had to be thrown out. Well, when Jesus said, "We are the salt of the world," we are the preserving influence in this world today. We're not going to prevent America's collapse or the world's collapse, but we can give America more time so that we have an opportunity to preach the gospel. Think about the story about Jonah. God said to Jonah, he was going to destroy the wicked city of Nineveh. That was a pronouncement. And yet in Jonah 3, God changed his mind. Now, I don't understand that. That's above my pay grade to understand how God did that. But because of the preaching of Jonah, because of the repentance of the Ninevites, God delayed his judgment against Nineveh. Now, interestingly, he ultimately destroyed Nineveh, but he gave Nineveh more time because of the righteous actions of Jonah. That's what we need to do for America.
Where did you get the courage to talk like this and to preach like this and to write like this in Twilight's Last Gleaming? Where did that come from?
Well, I, first of all, don't pretend to be the only pastor doing this, Dr. Dobson.
And I'm not implying there, that
And I
either.
Know you're not. There are many pastors who are out there taking courageous stands. But, you know, there was something about when I hit my 40th birthday and then my 50th birthday, I did the arithmetic and I took the age 80 and I subtracted my age. And I said, you know, whether or not America's in its last years, I'm in my last years. Either he's coming or I'm going. But sooner or later, I am going to meet him. The end is coming for me, even if it doesn't come for America right away. I want to be able to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't care what people think about me. I love my church members. I really don't care what they think about me, though. I give an account to God for what I do. And I believe when a man of God understands that truth, that we answer to God and God only, it gives you a great courage, just like you, Dr. Dobson. I mean, we are all people who have learned from you about taking unpopular stands.
Well, it's been a pleasure to carry the banner, you know, to feel like the Lord is pleased with me. I don't really care who criticizes me. Frankly, criticism from the church and my brothers and sisters bothers me more than the worst that the media and the far left can do to me. But I'd like to ask you to address the subtitle of this book. It is How America's Last Days Can Be Your Best Days. At the end of the program last time, I said I was going to ask you about this. How can a world falling apart, you know, I think in Proverbs it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We all get caught up in it when everything crumbles. How can those be good days for us?
You know, our mutual friend Bob Beals says, every life is either self-focused or God-focused. It's one or the other. It can't be both. If our life is self-focused, if it's about pleasure and profits and the avoidance of pain, then surely we are going to be disturbed by what we're seeing in the news. Our whole world is being threatened. But if our life is God-focused, if our agenda here is to make disciples for Christ, if that's our agenda, then we can see how these collapsing world circumstances actually help us spread the gospel. Think about Paul. He was in prison because of an ungodly Roman Empire, much more hostile to Christianity than America is. And yet he said, I rejoice in this situation. I want you to know that my imprisonment has turned out for the progress of the gospel. Now, if Paul's goal in life had been pleasure and the avoidance of pain and peace, why, his imprisonment was a great tragedy. But Paul had a purpose in life bigger than himself. And he turned to those Philippians in chapter 2 and he said, in the same way, in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, you are to be children of light, holding out the word of life. And you know what, Dr. Dobson? The darker the background, the brighter the light. And that's why these days can be our best days. As the world becomes more and more hopeless, it makes the hope of the gospel shine that much more brightly. And what I've found is that so many, even non-Christians, they know something's not right in our country. They know things aren't working. You know, the latest wrong track, right track poll showed 73% of Americans think our country is headed on the wrong track. And I think if we will respond to people graciously, we don't have to be foaming at the mouth fundamentalist. We can be gracious. We can be firm, though, in our convictions. People will listen to us. You know, I like to think about the example of Jesus. I call him the perfect example of the velvet-covered brick. I mean, he was soft when it came to people, but he was hard in his convictions. Never have we had a better time in American history right now to share the gospel than we do in this culture. And that's why I say, Dr. Dobson, these last days for America really can be our best days as long as our life is God-focused and not self-focused.
Let's end this second interview right where we started the first. Do you worry about this next generation that's coming up, the kids that are around our knees today? That, you know, that really does put a lump in my throat. I'm going to make it. I'm committed, and even if it costs me my life, that's not the worst thing that could happen to me. But I worry about those kids and what the world is going to be like in 20, 30 years. Yeah,
I do. I have two daughters, and some point in the future we'll have grandchildren like you have. And yes, I'm concerned about what their world is going to be like. And that's why I'm not ready to give up, just like you're not ready to give up. You know, my book is not doom and gloom. It's saying we do have an opportunity to make a difference. But Dr. Dobson, it's going to mean we don't retire from the cause. It means we don't give up. It means we are willing to push back against evil with every ounce of strength God gives us. That is our calling. That's our responsibility. It is our opportunity as Christians.
It's been very inspirational talking to you today and yesterday. Bless you, my friend, and give our regards to our friends at Dallas First Baptist Church.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
Insightful words as we end today's Family Talk broadcast. It's imperative for Christians to engage this culture, not just for this generation, but for the ones to follow. We are the first line of moral and biblical defense for our kids, and for their kids, too, so we must take this responsibility seriously. I hope you've enjoyed hearing these conversations the past couple of days, featuring Dr. Dobson's conversation with Dr. Robert Jeffress. You can stop by our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org for more information about Dr. Jeffress's ministry and his many popular books. You can also find part one of this two-day conversation with Dr. Dobson when you visit our broadcast page as well. You find all that and more when you go to drjamesdobson.org and then click onto the broadcast button. Are you searching for encouraging content to help grow your family? Well, be sure to check out the DobsonLibrary.com website. It's our online inventory of Dr. Dobson's complete body of work. We have cataloged all of his articles, all of his blogs, all of his newsletters, and every past radio program available now for you as a resource absolutely free. You can also search under the Marriage, Faith, Parenting, and Culture tabs to find what you need there as well. Take advantage of Dr. Dobson's years of knowledge when you go to DobsonLibrary.com. www.familytalk.com. As we conclude today's broadcast, won't you consider giving to the Ministry of Family Talk? We are completely supported by you, our faithful listeners. And so when you go to drjamesdobson.org, be sure to find out how easy it is to partner with us financially. That's drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Be sure to join us again next time when Dr. Tim Clinton will be talking with Nona Jones. Nona is a leader of global faith-based partnerships for Facebook. She'll be talking about the incredible opportunity that she's been blessed with, and she'll share her moving testimony. You will not want to miss that conversation coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton for the James Dobson Family Institute. Are you leaving a lasting and godly legacy? When you think about your family after you're gone, are you worried about them? Or are you confident they'll hold on to what you've taught them? At the Dobson Family Institute, we're committed to helping you understand the importance of passing on your faith, not only to your children, but to your children's children too. Check out drjamesdobson.org today for helpful hints, tips, and advice to help make this happen. Remember this, your legacy matters. Don't waste it.